And I'm going to talk about neurocysticercosis. And what the title is, Estimating the Global Burden of Neurocysticercosis, Distribution of Manifestations Among Patients Seeking Care. Most of this work was actually conducted by Patrick Dibanzi. He's now gone back to Rwanda, so unfortunately he couldn't be here to present his work. That was his master's in epidemiology work. And this initiative is funded by the Foodborne Epidemiology Research Group of the WHO. This initiative has been going on for about 3 to 4 years, where we are really trying very, very hard to provide valid estimate of DALYs for foodborne diseases. And it has been very challenging given the lack of information that's out there as compared, for example, to cardiovascular diseases and cancer. And then one wonders where DALYs for those things are more important than neglected tropical diseases. But anyway, I have no relationships to disclose. So I will not present the life cycle of neurocysticercosis because Pascal will do this after me. So just hang in there. All I'm going to say is that neurocysticercosis is caused by the larva of Tinea solium. The adult worm of Tinea solium is in the pigs. Now, when the larvae of that worm goes to the brain of humans, it basically digs holes in the brain of humans. So it's a little bit like the Bilis ascaris. It's a larva that migrates to the brain. And once it gets to the brain, it can provoke inflammation, which in turn can manifest in different ways. One of the most common way it's been reported to manifest is with seizures and epilepsy. However, it's not very well known what other thing it's associated with. There's been a lot of case reports, but never systematically reviewed. However, this distribution of manifestation is very important if we want to accurately estimate the DALYs associated with neurocysticercosis. So the aim of this research was to identify the range of reported clinical manifestation associated with NCC, that's neurocysticercosis, and estimate their frequency, and then to estimate the death rate associated with NCC in population-based studies. So basically, this is more or less, I know it's written very small, but there's the only way I could fit this thing in. We looked at a total of 25 different international search tools for literature, and we identified 881 papers in PubMed, 531 additional paper in CAB, and then 153 papers in other search engines. We search French, English, Spanish, Portuguese, what else? Italian, German, and Chinese. The other ones I just cannot read. this is a joke. So anyway, in total, we identified 1,568 papers, and we reviewed the title, abstract, and the abstracts. We excluded the languages we just could not cope with. Actually, there was one German one, but it could have been excluded for other reasons. And then we excluded 1,159. The reasons for exclusion were wrong agent, because there's a thing called Tinea saginata that we picked up there, but we didn't want to look at. Animal studies only, the title, but the abstract did not report any complication of neurocysticercosis. Case report of less than 20, or just one case. Basically, we included everything that had 20 cases or more. If it was less than 20, they were excluded. Review papers and editorials were excluded. Then we added back one medical thesis that I got from Burkina Faso, which had interesting data. So we ended up with 404 eligible articles, 142 in Chinese, 193 in English, 27 in French, 24 in Portuguese, and 18 in Spanish. Of those, when we read the whole article, we further excluded papers for different reasons that are listed here, but the most important was either that there was no original data when you actually read the paper, or we picked up more case reports because some of the papers didn't have abstracts originally, so we still read them. And then often there was no definition of NCC or important selection bias, or NCC was diagnosed without imaging, which is a big, big problem. You cannot really diagnose NCC with serology, so we had to only rely on imaging. This means that most countries of Africa had to be kicked out, which is a shame, but that's all we could do. Some Chinese articles we could not find. And a few of the papers we found here, we moved it to another systematic review where we were looking at the proportion of neurocercosis among people with epilepsy. So we ended up with 21 articles out of the 1,568 originally looked at. What this table shows is the meta-analysis of the proportion of people with the different manifestations listed here among people with NCC, usually seeking care in neurological clinics where there was imaging. So the most common manifestation remains seizures and epilepsy at about 79%. That's the confidence interval between about 65 and 90, let's say. Headaches was the second most common at 38%, and that's not all that often studied. There's one study in the literature on headaches and NCC, an epidemiological study. Increased intracranial pressure, hydrocephalus, and papilledema, which is a similar thing, was found in about 12% of the cases, focal deficit about 16%, and then meningitis symptoms, ataxia, visual changes, altered mental state, cranial nerve palsy were all under 10%. What's interesting is most of those cases are not really, most of these manifestations are really not typically looked at when we're trying to look at neuropsychosis cases. And it's interesting to see that some of those are similar to what has been found for Bellus ascaris, which maybe we should look at a little bit more. We only found 4 papers on NCC death rate, population-based death rates, and 3 are in the U.S., which is interesting because U.S. is not considered as an endemic country at all. But per the annual mortality rate from those studies, in Brazil, it was estimated between 1985 and 2004 to be in the order of 1.68 per million population. And in the U.S., it's in the order of 0.3 overall, or in California. And then in Oregon, it was only 0.06. And what's interesting, in the U.S., typically it's much, much higher among the Hispanics. They're immigrating from Latin America, and it's endemic in Latin America. Other things we found is the proportion with NCC among people presenting with a specific manifestation. What's interesting is all those presentations have something to do with the kind of stroke-like malignant, aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage and stroke is where the larvae ends up close to a vessel. And what's really interesting to me is that study from Ecuador that found that 7.4% of stroke were associated with lesions of NCC, and in that paper, the lesions was really the cause of the stroke. It was just not an incidental finding. So if this is the case, there's only one study, we need more. This could have such a big impact on the DALYs. But there's just not sufficient evidence right now to convince the global burden of disease people that neurocercosis is responsible for part of stroke in the world. So we're hoping that in the future that will get better. So this flow chart shows what we're trying to do, which is to estimate the DALYs, but it's very, very difficult. Because if someone is infected with cysticercosis, which is what the serology is going to tell you, we don't know what proportion will ever get neurocysticercosis, totally unknown. There's no cohort study on neurocysticercosis. Then of those who have neurocysticercosis, we don't know what proportion will get symptoms. In cross-sectional studies, it's been described between 0 and 16%, but it's cross-sectional, so lifelong, we don't know what it's going to be. And then of those who do develop symptoms, we don't know what proportion are going to go to a neurological clinic. Plus, that proportion is likely to vary tremendously from country to country. In very poor countries, most people will never end up in a neurology clinic where there's imaging. And then of those who do end up in the neurological clinic, then there's a proportion I showed you before. And that's what we're trying to use to come up with DALY's estimate. So to conclude, NCC is a pleomorphic disease. That is, it's associated with all sort of neurological manifestation. But that range of manifestation is still not fully very well described. If that's that percentage of stroke associated with neuropsychosis could be confirmed, that could have really big impact on what we think about what's going on with parasites. And we hope that clinicians could keep neuropsychosis in their differential diagnosis when they see one of those manifestations listed. The data is only available from studies for patients seen in neurology clinics, so we know that's a huge bias. It's just a total, absolute bias. It's probably the people with the worst symptoms that we're seeing. Most of those papers never provided a definition of manifestation, and some manifestation may have not been reported. So that's the limitation we have here. NCC can kill, and it would be very, very good to make it notifiable. This was actually suggested about 15 years ago by a guy called Roman, but was never implemented. And we need more data before we can estimate DALYs. That's it. Thank you. Do you have any questions? And we have 3 minutes for questions. Thank you, Jessica, who kept me in time. Comments. I cannot ask a question to myself.
I was wondering what, I don't know what the deciding how a disease, if a lot of work to make it notifiable disease, what are the barriers to that?
Well, the larger just problem at the moment is that the definition of NCC requires imaging. So it means that in most places of the world, it's not very feasible. However, I think it would be good to ask places where there is radiology, where there is imaging, that whenever they see a case, to report it to the Ministry of Health. And we will actually be piloting this in Burkina Faso in our grant that we're just starting right now. We're going to tell them, whenever you see a case, please report it to the authorities so that we can see if it's feasible and if it works. And I believe that in California and Oregon, it is actually reportable at the moment. Yes?
My question is whether it is preventable, but, and I don't know if I might be getting into what your colleagues are going to talk about.
Yes, I think that Pascal will give you the life cycle, right? Do you have the life cycle? Hmm? Oh, okay, we deleted the slide. So yes, it is definitely preventable. And actually our project that we're about to start in Burkina Faso is, this is what we're gonna try and do. And it's the same story all the time. It's sanitation is a big thing, hand washing. But in this case, because pigs are involved, it's also cooking pig meat very well and trying to avoid that pig have access to human feces, because pig get infected that way. So you can cut the cycle in different places.